Welcome to Manager Tools. Interviewing on Zoom. This cast answers these questions. What's different about interviewing on Zoom? What can I do to make interviewing a candidate on Zoom effective? What special steps should I take for a Zoom interview? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Folks, if you haven't heard, in honor of our 15th anniversary, we are going back to the future, back to our roots, and offering some serious incentives in our licensee product. Now, licensees will get access, while they're licensees, to the interviewing series, the resume workbook, first job fundamentals, and some more of our digital products as well. We want to incentivize you to become a licensee. Licensing is a great model for us. It allows us to reinvest, like we did recently, spending $300,000 on Roadmap. We want you to be a part of the community. If you're not a licensee, that's okay. The podcasts are free, but next time you meet a licensee, you should thank them because they're paying for your benefits. Hope to have you become a licensee and send me a mail and tell me your story. I look forward to it.
This is a timely topic, Mark, interviewing on Zoom.
Yeah, I've not had a single person write me on this, and I've been meaning to get to it for like 6 weeks. So,
well, I can understand why you would not get questions on it, because it's just so simple. You just schedule the call, and install the software 5 minutes before the interview.
I know. Yeah, keep going. I think I told the story on air of my good friend here, golf buddy, who told me he had to finish our golf round perhaps a little early in order to get to his 40th reunion of his Harvard med school class. And he turned to me and said, "It's a Zoom call. How do I do that? Do I just dial in?" I said, "No, you need to get the app." And he said, "So I can't do that. I can't do that from my phone." I said, "Well, not if you want to see people." He says, "Oh, you could see people." Okay, dude. If you're a spine surgeon, it's all good, right? You don't need Zoom.
Yeah, you don't have to be smart in everything.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically right now living in a Zoom world, and no offense to Teams or Skype whatever Google's latest name of their product is. I'm sure it's excellent. Video interviews are here to stay this time. In my opinion, video interviews are exceptionally smart. It reduces cost while maintaining high quality. I'm not against the idea of having face-to-face interviews before a final decision, but I'm also not against having Zoom interviews and making a hiring decision on somebody. So, what's our outline? First of all, you need to do better preparation. You need to send a Zoom link and instructions in advance of the call. And it matters who sends those, by the way. You need to be in the room, in the Zoom room, I guess we can call it, in advance, particularly if you're going to use a waiting room, which we recommend you do. There are some things you need to do about controlling your environment. And lastly, yes, it's completely appropriate to evaluate someone's preparation over a video call.
Okay, let's talk about doing better preparation. I think this is a place where a lot of people fall down, and they look unprofessional and have bad results as a result of lack of preparation. And the preparation is different, of course, than if you were doing it person to person or on a phone. And I think people make mistakes. Well, it's just like, you know, it's the same level of preparation. Interview on the phone, right? And that's not true.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that would be funny. Yeah, I remember years ago, this is 50 years ago, AT&T was thinking about doing video phones, and people said, "Well, I'll have to get dressed to answer the phone." And I'm not sure that's a good thing. So what people forget is one of the things that happens in our minds as professionals is, in many situations you're in, there are multiple contexts playing out in that situation. If I'm in a meeting with my boss and the meeting is about operational goals, that's a different meeting than an operational goals meeting that doesn't include my boss, because there's a boss context overlaid on that. Same thing true with Zoom interviewing. People think, oh, it's an interview, so I'll prepare the way I prepare for other interviews. But the context of face-to-face interviewing in person is different than using Zoom or again, other video platforms. When you're at your desk, you can easily find a candidate's resume, you know, at the last minute, whatever. Looking around for a resume while you're on camera comes across like you're not ready. They'll forgive you for walking back to your desk if they're at your desk and you reach and find your resume, which says, I had it here. I just didn't want to leave it on my desk all morning until you showed up. Comes across very differently in video interviews. By the way, Mike, it just occurred to me. Do you know the first time I had a conversation with somebody about video interviewing? It was almost Cisco telepresence level stuff. Was 1996. Oh, wow. People think, oh, Zoom is new and, oh, you know, video interviewing and so on. Yeah, no. 96, 2006. So 25 years ago.
Wow. That's funny. You were cutting edge. You were cutting edge.
Oh, cutting edge. Yeah. Somebody called me and says, I'm in absolute in panic. I have to do a video interview. What do I do? I said, oh, come on. This can't be hard. Luckily, I had been in some meetings with telepresence or the equivalent back then and knew there were certain things that just you don't realize they exist until you go through a few video meetings, whatever context they might be.
Yeah, I remember the days when the I think it was telepresence or whatever it was, the video conference we had in the building, you had a special room.
Exactly.
You go to that room, and if you could get access to that room, you were
so special. You were somebody. So the context is different. So here are some of the ways you need to be careful. You need to know what steps your candidate has gone through already, where they are in the process. You shouldn't ever ask a candidate about where they are. They draw the conclusion that you don't know. They assume that your organization has built a reasonably effective process and you have value because you understand where you are in the context of that process. Look, face-to-face interviews are usually the last step in a hiring process. If it's the last step, the candidate will have jumped through more hoops, right? You'll likely be more aware of the hoops they've gone through. Sometimes face-to-face interviews require travel and logistics. That means more screening has probably been done before a final interview that is also being done on Zoom. On the other hand, a Zoom screening interview, which certainly you could do, you would have a completely different expectation in that discussion. You wouldn't be shocked if the person was immediately wrong for you if you're doing a screening interview. If you're doing a final interview and within 2 minutes you think this person is way wrong, that's not a good sign. There's discussions to be had about what went wrong there. Assuming we've had multiple steps in the process because you're a highly professional, smart, effective manager, and you've followed the Effective Hiring Manager book's guidance regarding the process and how to make it effective. So Zoom interviews are relatively low impact, but they may be used in a context that is, this is the final step. You need to know that, okay? It's so easy for managers, because of physical distance in part and because of lack of physical presence, it's easy for us to take a Zoom interview less seriously. But again, the seriousness of the interview ought much more be judged based on where they are in the process, how close they are, how many resources we've already expended, rather than the technology we're using, whether it's a cab or a Zoom software on our desktop or laptop. Even if it's not the candidate's final interview or even one of their final interviews, an unprepared interviewer is an unprofessional interviewer. It's disrespectful to the candidate. And if you get caught doing it, it will be seen as Zoom interviews will start getting a reputation of being blow-off sessions. They're doing a Zoom. It's not, they said it was going to be a final interview, but they clearly didn't mean it. They just did a Zoom thing on me.
Or if it was a final interview and they're that bad, I'm not going there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's context, okay? You've also got to study the candidate's resume well. Highlight accomplishments about which you intend to ask for elaboration. Highlight areas of concern. In many cases, the candidate can see it. I've had that happen, depending upon how you have your camera set up. Saying to a candidate, I've done it in a video interview, have their resume on a clipboard, reach down and pick it up. And I said, I've got your resume here. You'll see that there are two or three areas I've highlighted. Can I ask you about them?
So you wouldn't say like, oh, hold on a second while I go get your resume off my printer.
Oh, no, no, no. Even worse. Even worse. The manager goes, hey, look, do you have a copy of your resume? Which, by the way, might work in a face-to-face. Okay? It might. I mean, candidates are in a subordinate position, whether they realize it or not. And most of them do. And so they'll, oh, yeah, he wants to look at my resume, so I get it out. Of course, the smart candidate goes, dude, everybody here has had my resume. I've had two or three screening interviews already. I can't believe you're preparing to interview me and you don't have it. But whatever, they'll give it to you. Okay? I would actually hold it up and say, I've highlighted it. And not because I wanted to show them why I'm asking the questions, but because I wanted to show them we're prepared, we're professional. I've done my homework. You know, there are a lot of situations where people assume one group in a meeting, for instance, has to do their homework, but the other group doesn't. I don't know. The guys I look up to, the people I respect, they do their homework for everything. Okay, so knowing a candidate's background well is the hallmark of a well-prepared interviewer. If a candidate perceives you don't know their background, especially if they've prepared themselves and they know their own background, if you haven't done that, it's a sign that the culture you're in, your company, doesn't care about people and tolerates lack of preparation for important meetings. And I can't imagine a more important meeting than an interview. In fact, we tell people when we teach people how to be interviewed, we say something along the lines of, if an interviewer asks you, say, no, this is, I'm not going to answer my phone, or no, I'm at your disposal. This is the most important thing I'm doing today. And think about it a step further, guys. Don't apply this to all candidates. Let's apply it differentially to three groups: the best candidates, the average candidates, and the worst candidates. The best candidates, the ones you should be most interested in impressing, are particularly sensitive to unprepared interviewers' lack of respect. It's not that they're prickly or that they're thin-skinned. They have more choices. Maybe I shouldn't say they're sensitive. Maybe I should say, you look bad, and you shouldn't look bad to the best candidates. Okay, most of you will know this next one, because it's standard guidance from us, and I still know plenty of people who don't follow it, and I feel like you call me a cowboy because I've started a couple of companies, and you walk into interviews thinking that you can just shoot from the hip. Yeah, so our next bit of guidance is you've got to have prepared questions. The single biggest tactical mistake by most interviewers, in my experience, having watched thousands of hours of interviews on videotape, analyzing, documenting, cutting them apart, putting them back together, looking for clues, looking for answers for why, what works and what doesn't work. Single biggest tactical mistake made by most interviewers is not having all of their major questions prepared in advance. And the way this plays out on the battlefield of an interview is that if you don't know your next question in advance, a weak interviewer spends time worrying what their next question is, when they should be listening intently to the answer to the question they just asked. And the whole point of interviews is for the candidate to answer questions. It's mind-boggling to me that I'm not going to prepare. I'll just wing it. And then you literally, by doing that, you submarine the very basis for the whole interview. You also have to know your interview's end time. Context is different for Zoom interviews. In a face-to-face interview, they have to physically leave your office to go somewhere else, and they've probably planned time for that. But if you run along in a Zoom interview, you may make your candidate immediately late for another obligation, whether it's with another manager at your company doing an interview. And there's just no excuse for making someone late because of your interview. If you can't get it done efficiently, then you need to get better at interviewing. But you need to know when your end time is. Now, if you say, I have 15 extra minutes afterwards, you can ask, is that convenient? And the candidate may choose to say, listen, I'd love to, but I can't today. They told me it would be from 3 to 4. And that's where technology both hurts and helps us, depending upon how you look at it.
Sure. Yeah, I think the other thing we need to talk about is sending out Zoom links and instructions prior to the interview, doing that in advance. And I think part of it is, if you're on Zoom, you may assume that everybody knows about Zoom, right? I mean, these days, you could make that assumption, I guess, but you would be wrong, right? And if that assumption and lack of providing instructions makes the interview a worse experience for the interviewee or you, that's a waste.
Yeah, and that's your fault.
It's your fault, right?
Yeah. Look, with Zoom, you probably know this, but you have to create a meeting invite. You've got to send that in advance. Not at the last minute, okay, because you're creating the space in which you'll conduct the interview. Zoom meeting invites have leapt in the pantheon of technology assistance in the workplace today. They have leapt right up to be equivalent to an Outlook or a Gmail calendar invite. You don't send calendar invites at the last minute. You don't do it. Not if you expect a reasonably successful person to attend because their time is already scheduled, okay? So you got to send it in advance, not at the last minute, okay? When the interview is scheduled, you have to send it. If someone else chose the time for the interview, a recruiter, which would be dumb, but whatever, or an HR person, which happens all the time, prioritize your courtesy to your candidate and do this brief task where you send the note, send the meeting invite, the next moment you have. Look, if a scheduler arranged something on a Sunday, you come in and Monday morning you see the invite there, it's fine then to send it Monday morning. But an interview set up on Monday for the following Monday, it's set up on Monday, and you don't send, you've told them it'll be at 2 o'clock on the following Monday, and it gets set up, but you don't send the invite until they know in their mind that it's Monday at 2 o'clock, but you don't send the Zoom invite until Friday. First of all, you're not that busy. It doesn't take that long. And it sends a message that this is unimportant. This is a detail I didn't want to deal with. And I finally had to do it on Friday because I've got to do it at least, you know, the business day before the actual interview. It looks sloppy and unprofessional. Look, I'll go a step further about Zoom events, Zoom meetings. If you didn't create the meeting, you need to make sure you have control over the room to do what you want. Dependent upon how you have your accounts set up, for instance, if the scheduler used his account and sent out the meeting invite, it's their meeting. It's not your meeting. You may not have the privileges you need to make changes if something comes up. Here at Manager Tools, we found ourselves, and we've heard from many other people too, that they get used to their own settings. Things like waiting rooms, which we recommend, and recording. That could trip you up because you don't know what the settings are for the person who scheduled the meeting. And if there's a problem in the meeting, you can't change the meeting. And it looks bad. You say 2 o'clock. You said to be ready at 2 o'clock. I'm ready at 2 o'clock. Where are you? I know. Nobody cares about punctuality anymore. But we do. It's not helpful to anyone for you to look like you don't know what you're doing in the first 5 minutes of a call. You spazzing around, getting all your settings correct, which takes 5 minutes, that you couldn't do that in the 5 minutes before the top of the hour? How's that coming across? I would argue, not well. And in addition to sending meeting invites in Zoom, one of the things we've learned here, and this is real time, I don't have data for this, but what we've learned here is Zoom meeting invites essentially engender, cause a very quick scan of what is this meeting and is it at the time I thought it was going to be? And then let me check my calendar. And does the person who's sending it have the authority to compel me? Or am I interested in doing this, right? That's all. There's a bunch of other stuff in a Zoom meeting invite. There's a bunch of other stuff in a Gmail calendar invite. Nobody reads it, dude. So if you're not sending other instructions separately, then you're missing out. And that's especially true for a younger candidate, somebody with less experience. They might be familiar with Zoom, but this may be their first interview using Zoom. So this is not a chess game. It's not a football game, okay? In other words, we're not going to reveal our strategy. I can't reveal my strategy. My strategy is my competitive advantage. We're not competing here. In fact, we're trying to communicate in order to collaborate, which is pretty much not competition, okay? So tell your candidates always what's going to happen. Tell them in your email. You'll be there at least 5 minutes early. You'll set up the meeting to have a waiting room. You can do this, or you can tell them it's already been done. By the way, a waiting room is standard for most Zoom accounts. So you tell them, when you're in the waiting room, I'll have gotten a notice that you're there, but I'm not going to join you. And by that, I mean accept you out of the waiting room until the start of the interview, or maybe a few seconds before. And by the way, if you don't know it, if you're using a waiting room where you've never seen it or you never manage your own meeting, you'll get a notification on Zoom. If you're there 5 minutes early, the moment they pop into the waiting room, if they tried 10 minutes before and you're not there and you haven't opened the room, they won't be able to. It won't have started yet. But once you're there and the waiting room now exists, you'll get a notification that tell you they're in the waiting room. Can't miss it. It's red. Tell them in the email how long the interview will be. Tell them what you're going to do. Tell them it's a couple of minutes of chit-chat followed by a series of questions that you've already prepared. Then they'll get a chance likely to ask a couple of questions, and then you'll wrap up. Nothing fancy, but it will A, allay their fears a little bit, and B, show them that you are prepared, that they are important, that you respect them, that you respect their time. These are simple things to do.
If you're doing an in-person interview, you wouldn't want to walk into the room late, right? You'd want to be time. And being on time means for Zoom, you need to be there early.
Yeah, so you got to be there in advance. We've essentially alluded to this. Be in the room at least 5 minutes before. If you show up at the last minute, and depending upon your lack of preparation regarding your Zoom sessions, they'll already be there as you're setting up. That just looks like they're an afterthought, dude. Not the most important part of your day. And you'll look unprepared. Again, for some, that's fine, but not for the best candidates, not for the ones you're most going to want to hire. Don't do it.
To all our friends in Washington and on the Hill, Manager Tools is coming to your city soon. We'll be in Crystal City, July 14th and 15th, with our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences. Though we may be but a little group, we are fierce. Register online today at manager-tools.com/training to reserve yourself a seat.
Our next thing we're talking about is controlling the environment. What do you mean by the environment and what do we need to do?
So when somebody comes to your office, face-to-face interview, your context, the physical space, the time of day, the hum of the office, all these things that go into the environment around you, the context kind of controls itself. You probably have limited space. You're going to be in your office chair. You can't rearrange the whole office. And, of course, the candidate's head can swivel and see a lot of other things and put your office in context. But in a Zoom call, they don't have the rest of your office area to fit your context into. They're getting a narrow window into you. For heaven's sake, clean up behind yourself. I mean, I don't care who you are. I mean, okay, if you are the Nobel Prize winning technical fellow, you know, if you're, isn't it Alan Kay, Mike, the guy who invented, or Doug Engelbart? Didn't Doug Engelbart invent the mouse? Right? I think Alan Kay and somebody else invented Ethernet. Okay, guys, if you did that, your office can look however you want. Well, you got to know, I think you got to know, or you worked with, or you were in meetings with Vint Cerf.
I was, I knew right? Vint, yeah.
And he had a pretty nice office, I'm sure, over out in, where was it? It was out east of you.
Ashburn.
Yeah, Ashburn. And in that new building. Mm-hmm. And I imagine Vint could pretty much do what he wants. And I'm not going to tell you who. I told you Doug Engelbart and Andrew K. Alan Kay were guys, but I'm going to leave Vint out of it. You see if you can figure out how great Vint Cerf was, how important he was.
Vint was a great guy and unconventional.
See, I know. I've seen his office.
I can tell you some meetings.
It was, dude, it wasn't corporate professional. So, guys, if you're Vint Cerf, that's V-I-N-T-C-E-R-F. Or Doug Engelbart or Alan Kay, you do what you want. Otherwise, welcome to the human race. So know what's in your background. We actually would argue in some cases, it might be better to not interview from your cubicle if the view behind you includes a busy hallway, a walkway, or some other noticeably distracting situation. Take your laptop and go somewhere else. Now, look, your lighting as well might be fine for office work, but Zoom and other video systems can be pretty funny. I think the software in Zoom and generally in Skype and Microsoft Teams, I feel bad about talking about Zoom because I love our friends at Microsoft, but we don't like Teams. I think if we were a much bigger corporation and we used Office and Outlook and Exchange and so on, Teams might fit in so perfectly, it'd be hard to argue with. But regardless, the software is good. It does sort of fuss with the lighting in a way that's awkward at times. I don't think everybody has to go out and buy those fancy circular lights that are used for soft tones on your face and so on. I just don't think we should be asking people to do that. And frankly, most software developer and engineer managers I know be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. But look, how long would it take to do a 30-second practice Zoom call? You could ask the person in the next cubicle to make sure your lighting isn't too dark or too harsh or whatever.
Yeah, you don't want to be that anonymous guy in the Kellogg Court. Frosted Flakes commercial, Tony Tiger thing, where you just see a dark face talking.
Yeah, I can tell you how long a 30-second practice call will take. It'll take about 30 seconds. And another thing, too, know how far to sit away from the camera. Don't get too artsy about it. I've discovered that I have a tendency to lean forward. Big surprise. When I'm delivering, I delivered yesterday the first of four sessions to a bunch of genetic wheat breeders. It's just a really cool group spread all across the world. Genetic. And I looked, and everybody else is.
I thought you were going to start calling them mouth breathers or something.
No, wheat breeder. No, these people are geniuses.
I know.
I mean, you got to, I mean. Yeah, Ed Sousa, the guy who is there, who runs the show, you've got people in Australia, in Victoria, they've got people in Saskatoon, they've got people near Fargo, North Dakota, they've got people in Lincoln, Nebraska, and it's cool. I think it's really cool what they're doing, but my point is, I was kind of getting into it. You know, I'm talking about one-on-ones, and so I leaned forward a little bit. And I noticed that, first of all, everybody else is leaning back. Yeah, you know, they're the audience, right? They're not going to be as intense as I am. But I noticed when I went forward a little bit, my face immediately, just because of the way the lighting is in my office, got very washed out relative to what it was if I was 6 inches further back. It doesn't take long to figure that out, guys. Learn that. Do a quick test. You'll understand. Now, look, if you insist on using your laptop as opposed to a desktop or whatever, that's fine. I would argue that laptops were the first fetish before iPhones were. People just get enamored of them. But if you don't prop that laptop up on at least a foot of books or whatever it is you use to prop it up, your candidate is going to spend the entire interview looking up your nose. And there's no way you come off good in that. And I'm pretty certain, again, you're not Alan Kay. You need all the help you can get. Dude, we all do. And you may not think that's any big deal, but see if you don't form a slightly negative judgment of a candidate if they look down their nose at you during an entire laptop open video interview where you're seeing their chin and their nose and their eyebrows, but not really getting a sharp read on their facial expressions. Something else, let people around you know you're interviewing. Otherwise, you look like you're in any other meeting and you're going to get interrupted. Now, look, it's probably not a big negative for the candidate's perception, but time is your enemy in an interview, right? A 2-minute interruption in a 60-minute interview bugs me. And there's almost no interruptions that don't take 2 minutes. It's the difference between them getting to ask one question of you at the end of the interview. So again, this is a simple thing to control your environment. Please worry about your audio. Just so you know, at Manager Tools, we would not conduct a Zoom interview here without using our Jabra wireless headset that has a boom microphone, like we worked in a call center.
You're just making it more complicated. I mean, most computers come with an internally built microphone and speakers. I mean, just turn them on, you're good.
Yeah, good. Do you like people, Mike? Do you like people.
They just don't like me.
Do you have any friends? Do you have any friends? Oh, my God.
Because I call them on a speakerphone and they can't understand a word I'm saying.
Like a story a number of years ago, a client whom I really admire and like, who's just a genius, literally a genius. We had a phone call set up to talk about the engagement we were going to do. And I wanted to ask him some questions about who was going to be there. And he said, okay, call me at this number. So he said, I called him at his number. He says, hey, Mark, this is my cell. I want to call you back from the desk phone I'm at. I didn't know where I'd be, so I gave you my cell. No problem. So I gave him my cell number. He immediately called me back from a desk phone in the office he's in and put me on speakerphone. Like, dude, if you weren't the client, which he was, and I admired and respected him, I would have been like, no, I don't know. If I call you and you're on the speakerphone and you're doing other stuff, I'm probably going to say, you know what? Call me back when you have a minute for me. And if you don't ever have a minute for me, well, probably not the end of the world.
Right, the whole point of this, guys, is don't let the audio quality be between you and the candidate. That you should.
Yes.
It should never be thought of, right? There should never be a point like, I can't understand what you're saying, or there's background noise or anything getting in between you and the candidate.
I don't even think that way. I'm not thinking about avoiding mistakes. I'm thinking about accessing success. And that means I want them to think, I want them to have the best audio quality from me they can get. So, for example, AirPods are incredibly convenient, easy to connect to Bluetooth to your laptop. But they sound not great. And the upgrade, they still sound not great, guys. Don't get me wrong, they're fantastic compared to other stuff, and they're wireless. That's great. But the question isn't how many bells and whistles they have. The question is, how do you sound? And you don't sound like you're on a phone, a wired phone, a wireless phone, or a boom microphone wireless headset. They're only slightly better than a speakerphone, in my estimation. I should probably say here, we love our friends at Apple. I'm thrilled to have a pair of AirPod Pros. Love them. And they're not ideal for this. They're ideal for almost everything else, but not for this. And you would notice if your candidates used them. Wired headphones sound better, but I would argue wired headphones are a physical hassle. I must be the only human being, Mike, in the world who thinks when I'm out playing golf and I see people running down up and down 17 mile drive, which is pretty much the greatest jog. If you live around here and you get to jog up and down 17 mile drive in California, you know, count yourself lucky. And all these people running and they're holding their phones in their hands and they have wired headsets to listen to, I assume, to music or maybe to management podcasts. But, I mean, if they take a trip, the first thing that's going to happen is their hand's going to fly open. And now their phone's flying around. Maybe they've got fantastic OtterBox super special protection. But then they've got to deal with that thing, with the wires on the headphones. I mean, particularly since you could buy a little teeny iPod Nano, you could probably slave that, maybe not a Nano, but an iPod Touch or whatever, the small ones. You could do wireless Bluetooth to wireless headphones pretty easy. Maybe they're a lot more expensive. I don't know. But anyway, as Mike alluded to at the start of this bit about audio, using a speakerphone is completely unacceptable. Using your computer. Actually, somebody told me once, I was using my computer. There's a microphone in the computer. And I said, yeah, that's what I mean. He says, no, you said speakerphone. This isn't a speakerphone. Like, yeah, it actually is. That's what it is. Because since communication is what the listener does, yeah, it actually is a speakerphone. Also, in a face-to-face interview, even in your cubicle, it's easy to focus on the candidate. But now, your view of the candidate is through your computer, which is literally a distraction machine. It literally beeps and chirps and whines and reaches out and grabs you. So turn off mail, turn off Slack, shut down your messaging clients. Please check that your screen isn't going to pepper you with notifications and alerts. Guys, I've seen screens with software update requests, reminders to take a break. Like this person has anger management problems or something. Take a break, you know, got to get away. Medication reminders with the name of the medication. I mean, no, get serious. Focusing on the candidate means planning in advance to allow that focus. And when you're in Zoom, don't use gallery mode so you can see yourself and them. Give them the whole screen. You don't have to go full screen, but you should stay on them. It's called pinning their video. All you'll see is them. If you just leave it normal, it'll be speaker view. And when you're talking, it will show you or them. Right? You want it on them all the time. You want it guaranteed on them.
Yeah, I remember before we were even doing podcasts 15 years ago, so it had to be at least 16 years ago, probably closer to 20.
Yeah.
And you were describing to me what you did when you were interviewing somebody on the phone. I'm sure we talked about it in our interviewing series, actually, in terms of phone interviews, which is you would sit back, you would close your eyes and envision
the face absolutely
of the individual you were talking to. And so the idea that you're doing a Zoom call and you're not looking at the person's face and reading their expressions
right,
seems inconceivable.
Princess Bride reference. I will say that we're not suggesting you don't take notes. The rest of our guidance about asking questions and taking notes and being able to probe and so on, all that still holds. It's the Zoom context around that changes things. And you should probably tell them as well, the way we tell you to tell them when you're not interviewing in Zoom, hey, look, you'll see me taking notes. It's okay. I take notes all the time. And if you're old like Mike and I, you can say, I'm old. And if I don't write it down, I'll forget it. Okay. Last thing, evaluate their preparation. Don't be afraid to draw conclusions about your candidate's professionalism and level of preparation from what you see on the screen, okay? The context of somebody coming to your office causes some people to dress up, which we would argue is appropriate. It's less common than it used to be, but then so are politeness and manners and thank you cards and being off one's phone when someone is among other people, including one's friends. What is commonly done is not an excuse for behaving commonly in an interview. You don't wear the same thing at the supermarket that you do to a funeral. And everyone knows that. Everyone understands that. And that just proves that not all contexts are the same. And different contexts require different preparation potentially in all aspects. Now, look, I don't care if someone's home looks like something small or less than you might expect, but guys, it should be clean, okay? If they're wearing shorts because the interviewer will only see their shirt or blouse, classic, right? That's all well and good until inevitably they have to get up to ask their young child for a few more minutes to finish doing the work that they're doing. The child is not the problem at all. The problem is the ratty shorts they're wearing and the flip-flops they're wearing. I wouldn't hire that guy. You may disagree with me, and that's fine. There's one more candidate on the market for you, the one that I wouldn't hire, because he or she didn't finish dressing up. They thought that dressing up was just an affect, an idea, a fake poster you put in front of yourself. I can't imagine not dressing up for an interview and then saying to the interviewer, this is the most important thing I'm doing all day. And since we recommend an interviewee say that, then the interviewee who does say it ought to behave as if that's so. Otherwise, if you don't behave as if something's so, you don't believe it to be true. Dressing up is showing respect for the importance of the process. And despite what people say, it's popular to say that's not the authentic me, but authenticity pales in comparison to respect for others in the history of mankind. Preparation shows respect for you, for your company, for the job, for the opportunity. Evaluate their preparation. And look, if you do all this stuff right, it will go like any professional interview. An evaluation of the rightness of fit of the candidate with your role, you, and your organization. And if you present yourself well, you're more likely to hire the best candidates.
Before we go, this is off script a little bit, but I was just thinking about, folks, if you don't know, we have the Effective Hiring Manager conference mm-hmm. that we do. All that applies to Zoom and phone interviews. All that's the same, right? That's all.
Well, yeah.
None of that changes.
There might be one or two things that are physically context-based, but yeah, it's all the same. In fact, Effective Hiring Manager conference will include this guidance in the deck, and it will be covered at all future Effective Hiring Manager conferences because we assume a significant percentage, perhaps even a majority at various times, depending upon various states of health-driven lockdowns and so on, the majority of interviews will be done by video, by Zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So summarizing, guys, using Zoom to interview candidates doesn't change the core of what makes for good interviewing. It does change your preparation, and preparation always wins the day when it comes to interviewing, including prepared questions. It's reasonable for you to expect that a candidate be well prepared and familiar enough with the medium, in this case Zoom, to be able to handle a video interview easily. That doesn't mean you can't communicate with them about what's going to happen as a matter of courtesy, because the context will be slightly different than normal. And there's no question, a good interviewer can make a hiring decision over Zoom if she has to, and we recommend you do. Folks, we end with another shout out to our long-term licensees, but this one's a little different. We've spent some time commemorating our 15th anniversary recently, and we want to commemorate the very first licensees we have, even if, in fact, today they're not, may not still be licensees. So, our first three licensees, we want to thank Josephine Murphy of Ireland, Olivera Cresta, who I know is still listening. He wrote me an email the other day from Italy. And wait for it, our own Wendy Lord from the United Kingdom. Josephine, Olivier, and Wendy, thank you. And if you're noticing, folks, all those folks are from Europe. And the reason why, Mike tells me, is I sent him a draft of the email the day before it was due. And he edited it a bit, I'm sure. And then send it out to everybody in the middle of the night. And so that was workday over in Europe, and those people got first shot at becoming licensees. That was 15 years ago, and we'd like to say thank you.
Awesome. All right, thanks, my friend. I enjoyed that.
Anytime, partner. That was fun.
See y'all later.